So the reading today is 2 Kings chapter 20. In those days Hezekiah became sick and was at the point of death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, came to him and said to him, "Thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die. You shall not recover." Then Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord, saying, "Now, O Lord, please remember how I have walked before you in faithfulness and with a whole heart, and have done what is good in your sight." And Hezekiah wept bitterly. And before Isaiah had gone out of the middle court, the word of the Lord came to him, "Turn back and say to Hezekiah, the leader of my people, thus says the Lord, the God of David your father, I have heard your prayer, I have seen your tears. Behold, I will heal you. On the third day you shall go up to the house of the Lord, and I will add 15 years to your life. I will deliver you and the city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city for my own sake and for my servant David's sake." And Isaiah said, "Bring a cake of figs, and let them take and lay it on the boil, that he may recover." And Hezekiah said to Isaiah, "What shall be the sign that the Lord will heal me, and that I shall go up to the house of the Lord on the third day?" And Isaiah said, "This shall be the sign to you from the Lord, that the Lord will do the thing that he has promised. Shall the shadow go forward 10 steps or go back 10 steps? And Hezekiah answered, "It is an easy thing for the shadow to lengthen 10 steps. Rather, let the shadow go back 10 steps. And Isaiah the prophet called to the Lord, and he brought the shadow back 10 steps, by which it had gone down the steps of Ahaz. At that time, Merodach-Baladan, the son of Baladan, king of Babylon, sent envoys with letters and a present to Hezekiah, for he heard that Hezekiah had been sick, and Hezekiah welcomed them. And he showed them all his treasure house, the silver, the gold, the spices, the precious oil, his armory, all that was found in his storehouses. There was nothing in his house or in all his realm that Hezekiah did not show them. Then Isaiah the prophet came to King Hezekiah and said to him, "What did these men say? And from where did they come to you?" And Hezekiah said, "They have come from a far country, from Babylon." He said, "What have they seen in your house?" And Hezekiah answered, "They have seen all that is in my house. There is nothing in my storehouses that I did not show them." Then Isaiah said to Hezekiah, "Hear the word of the Lord. Behold, the days are coming when all that is in your house and that which your fathers have stored up till this day shall be carried to Babylon. Nothing shall be left, says the Lord. And some of your own sons who will come from you, whom you will father, shall be taken away, and they shall be eunuchs in the place of the king of Babylon." Then Hezekiah said to Isaiah, "The word of the Lord that you have spoken is good." For he thought, "Why not, if there will be peace and security in my days?" The rest of the deeds of Hezekiah and all his might, and how he made the pool and the conduit and brought water into the city, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? And Hezekiah slept with his fathers, and Manasseh, his son, reigned in his place. Amen.
Brother Walter preached from chapter 19, and we were learning about the events that happened in the life of Hezekiah. So today we will be in chapter 20. Before we start that, let's ask God's help, and then we will dive into our text this evening. Dear God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for how the word of God reveals to us the might, the work, and the power of our eternal and unchangeable God. Sovereign God, as we study this passage, please help us that we can see your gracious work and we can see your power, that how you worked in the life of Hezekiah and how your name was glorified during that time. Please help us, Father Lord, as I preach from this chapter, that hide me behind the cross and help me that I may be able to explain what you have laid on my heart clearly. We ask in Jesus' mighty and strong name. Amen. Well, the book of 2 Kings is a narrative history and prophecy concerning the two divided kingdoms, also known as Northern and Southern Kingdom of Israel. In chapters 1 to 17, we read that how God used prophet Elijah to communicate his message and perform amazing miracles through him. In these chapters, Elijah concludes his ministry and hands over the reins to prophet Elisha, whom God used mightily as well. We also find details about kings who disobeyed God's message. For instance, the last evil king, Hoshea, who neglected the warning and coming judgment announced by the prophet Hosea, and ultimately the Assyrians take the northern kingdom into captivity under his reign. In chapter 18 onwards, we read that southern kingdom is not doing much better either. The southern kingdom of Judah will eventually fall to Babylon despite the reign of righteous king Hezekiah. King Hezekiah happened to be a good king of Judah. We learn that he was 25 years old when he became a king and reigned for 29 years in Jerusalem. King Hezekiah was considered a good king because he did not follow the same path of his father, King Ahaz, and also his predecessors. On the contrary, when Hezekiah became a king, he moved quickly to reverse national policy and bring Judah back to the Lord. For instance, Hezekiah removed the high places, that is, the former sites of pagan worship that people had transformed into altars to worship the God of the Bible. And the Bible makes it clear that God was not happy with this effort of the predecessors of Hezekiah who transformed the altars into those pagan sites into worship the Lord. We also know that Hezekiah did not follow his predecessors. Not only that, he also boldly broke down the sacred pillars and wooden images. But the most important virtue of Hezekiah was that he trusted in the Lord. He held fast to the Lord. He did not depart from following him and kept the commandments which Yahweh had commanded to Moses. In other words, Hezekiah did not do what was popular at that time. He did not follow what his father was doing. He did not trust in those rituals and those things that people were already following, but he went back to the Lord. He went back to God's word and his commandments. He put his belief in the law of Moses, and he followed what God told, the instructions told in his book. In chapter 18, verse 7, we read that, and the Lord was with him wherever he went, God prospered him. This phrase, and the Lord was with him, is only said of David and of King Hezekiah among all the Davidic kings. Under their reign, God blessed his people, and God used both of these kings mightily for his honor and glory. We come to our text in chapter 20, and we read about Hezekiah's illness and his recovery from his illness. We read that God did an amazing miracle and increased 15 years in Hezekiah's life. We also read that Hezekiah made some mistakes. He made some errors in his judgment, and God judged him accordingly. We will look into our chapter under two main parts. The first part that I would like to draw your attention is that God answers Hezekiah's prayer. And secondly, we will look into God judges Hezekiah's pride. So let's look into our first part, that God answers Hezekiah's prayer. Chapter 20 that we have already read, that it commences with the episode of Hezekiah's illness. He receives the news from Prophet Isaiah that this illness will take his life, so he should set his house in order. We read in verse 1, In those days, Hezekiah became sick and was at the point of death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, came to him and said to him, "Thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die, you shall not recover." It was probably happened during the time when Southern Kingdom had crisis with Assyria, as Assyrians had already captured some parts of Southern Kingdom, some cities were captured, and they were threatening to attack Jerusalem. This would have been a worse time to receive such news, because on one side, Hezekiah was dealing with his enemies. On the other side, he was dealing with his illness that was quite serious. And now, this news that you will not recover, you will die. It was like, if the Assyrians won't kill you, still you will die because of this disease. In his distress, his misery, his despair, Hezekiah turned to the Lord. In verse 2 and 3, we read that, "Then Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord, saying, 'Now, O Lord, please remember how I have walked before you in faithfulness and with a whole heart, and have done what is good in your sight.' And Hezekiah wept bitterly." Hezekiah's prayer is not mere selfishness, but it is more like a pattern that we read in Psalms, where the psalmist appeals to God to be delivered because of his faithfulness. Here, Hezekiah's petition is, "Lord, please remember my faithfulness to you, and remember I have walked with my whole heart. Please consider that and do what is good in your sight." Notice, Hezekiah does not demand healing or does not demand Lord to increase or prolong his life, but he simply says to God, "Do what is right in your sight, O God." Someone may wonder why God allowed this suffering, anguish, and pain to Hezekiah when he was a good king. We know that in chapter 18, we read about it, that he did all the good things for the nation of Israel, and he trusted in the Lord, he walked with the Lord, and he followed what God's commandment said. If he was a devoted king to the Lord, and he was, but still he was under pressure against Assyria, and now the fear of his death. Why this was all happening to Hezekiah? This is a good question to ask. We can learn a lesson from this account that even righteous people and those who follow God's commands are not exempt from trials, tribulations, disease, pain, suffering in life. We know that these trials, this pain and the suffering can teach some us, and we can learn an important lesson for our lives from these trials. In his book, The Problem of Pain, C.S. Lewis writes, "God whispers to us in our pleasures, speaks in our conscience, but shouts in our pains. It is his megaphone to rouse a deaf world." Trials, sufferings, and pain can help us in our spiritual walk with the Lord. It can draw us closer to God and strengthen our relationship with Him. Problems in our lives can make us humble and compel us to pray to God that otherwise we could have never done. Secondly, God allowed this to happen to Hezekiah so others can learn from it. Maybe for the next generation of Israel, this was an important lesson that they can learn what happened in the life of Hezekiah. Maybe Prophet Isaiah needed this at that point in his life. Maybe you and I need this. So when we go through trials, suffering, and pain in our life, we go on our knees and cry unto the Lord and pray to him. I want you to notice that how God replied to Hezekiah's prayer. In verse 4, and before Isaiah had gone out of the middle court, the word of the Lord came to him. Turn back and say to Hezekiah, the leader of my people, thus says the Lord, the God of David, your father, I have heard your prayer. I have seen your tears. Behold, I will heal you. On the third day, you shall go up to the house of the Lord, and I will add 15 years to your life. I will deliver you and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city for my own sake and for my servant David's sake. We see that even Prophet Isaiah hadn't left the palace yet. He was still in the court, in the courtyard. He was still in the premises, and he receives the word from the Lord that go back and give this message to Hezekiah that he will be fine. He will be recovered from this disease. And God said that 15 more years will be added to his life. This was an incredible answer of his prayers. We serve the Lord of the Bible who hear our prayers. We see in this case, in Hezekiah's case, that he prayed to the Lord and God answered his prayer. God loves to lift our anguish, our pain, our sufferings away. Our prayers do matter to him. Dear church, be assured that your prayers are not unheard. Be assured that your tears are not unnoticed. We read in Hezekiah's case that God healed him completely and added 15 years to his life just because he prayed to the Lord. It may not be the case that God answers your prayers promptly and in the same way, but we should have complete confidence and assurance that our sovereign God is in complete control of our lives. He always does what is best for us. We see in verse 8 that Hezekiah asked Isaiah to show a sign for this promise. And Hezekiah said to Isaiah, what shall be the sign that the Lord will heal me and that I shall go up to the house of the Lord on the third day? We cannot be sure that that sign that God gave, exactly what does it mean. But we read that Isaiah told to Hezekiah and told him that, and Isaiah said that this shall be the sign to you from the Lord that the Lord will do the thing that he has promised. Shall the shadow go forward 10 steps or go back 10 steps? The steps were something King Ahaz, Hezekiah's father, had constructed. We read this in verse 11. Some commentators suggest that the text refers to some type of sundial, and it could be only a set of stairs on which shadows were cast that indicated a particular time of the day. Hezekiah asked for the hard option, for the shadow to turn back. Well, it could be that only God might have changed the angle of the sunlight, and the angle was changed backward in order the shadow to turn back, or God back up time in giving the king 15 more years. In either way, God granted 15 more years to Hezekiah, and he heard his prayer. It shows that God's compassion for his servant. It shows that God listens to our prayers as well. Now we just move forward in our second part of our message, and we see that God judges Hezekiah's pride. Now we have seen that how God has answered Hezekiah's prayer, and now we will see that how God judges Hezekiah's pride. And this is, we will see in verses 12 to 13. At that time, Merodach Baladan, the son of Baladan, king of Babylon, sent envoys with letters and a present to Hezekiah, for he heard that Hezekiah had been sick. And Hezekiah welcomed them, and he showed them all his treasure house, the silver, the gold, the spices, the precious oil, his armory, all that was found in his storehouse. There was nothing in his house or in all his realm that Hezekiah did not show them. We see that Hezekiah receives these visitors from Babylon. Merodach Baladan who was the son of Babylonian king at that time, came over to congratulate Hezekiah, and he brought the message from the king as well. Hezekiah seemed quite impressed with these visitors, as Babylon was a superpower at that time. So Hezekiah paid attention to the visitors and showed them all his treasure house, the silver, the gold, the spices, the fine oil, and most importantly, his armory. He showed them everything that was significant in his storehouse. At one level, when we read this, it seems there is no harm in showing off all this stuff, since these guests were some important dignitaries. It seems okay to show off what Hezekiah had got. But 2 Chronicles chapter 32 verse 25 tells us that, but Hezekiah did not make return according to the benefit done to him, for his heart was proud. So Hezekiah was not simply taking them on a tour, but showing them his resources or what he could bring to the table in alliance against Assyria. In all this, Hezekiah was not trusting God, but he was trusting Babylonian king to help him. We have already talked about in verse 12 and 13, he showed them what he has got. He was trying to impress them as well, that see what I have got, what I can bring to you if we can make an alliance and we can come together to fight the Assyrians. In this, Hezekiah was simply not trusting in the Lord he has, as he had done in the past, but he was trusting what the Babylonian can help him with. He was not trusting that God has given him 15 more years and God has promised that he is going to help him to fight against the Assyrians, and he will help him that they will not conquer or they will not take over Jerusalem. He did not believe in that part of the promise from God. But he was simply more worried about that what is going to happen if Assyrians will take over Jerusalem as well. He was not trusting in God's refuge, but he was trusting in the Babylonian army, that they can protect him, that they can help him to fight against Assyrians. On the other hand, we see that the letter from Babylonians brought were not simply get well card for Hezekiah, but there was an hidden agenda. And they basically wanted Hezekiah to become an alliance against Assyria as well. They wanted the southern kingdom to be part of Babylonians so they can fight against Assyrians. We see in this situation that God backs a bit and let Hezekiah learn from his mistake. We read this in verses 16 and 18. Then Isaiah said to Hezekiah, "Hear the word of the Lord. Behold, the days are coming when all that is in your house and that which your fathers have stored up till this day shall be carried to Babylon. Nothing shall be left, says the Lord, and some of your own sons who will come from you, whom you will father, shall be taken away, and they shall be eunuchs in the place of the king of Babylon. Here, God gave his verdict just because of the pride of Hezekiah. Because he did not trust in the Lord, he trusted in what he had got, and he trusted what was available for him through Babylon. We can say that the road to Babylon began with the folly of godly King Hezekiah for the southern kingdom. So, what lessons we can draw from Hezekiah's experience? We learn that our God is a gracious God and a righteous judge. He can turn things around when we pray with our whole heart, but also he judges us if we become proud. Hezekiah was a good king. He started his reign well, but did not finish in the same way. He did well when he trusted in the Lord and followed his commandments, but made wrong choices and became proud when started to trust in his own wisdom. We learned that we should never boast and trust in our success and in our achievements, because in our life it is easy to think about that what we have achieved, what we have done, what we have accomplished through our skills, through our power, through our intellect, through our mind. But we should always remember, whatever we are, it is because of the grace of God, or whatever we have achieved, it is because of the grace of God. We talked about it in the beginning, that in the beginning of the message, that the main virtue of Hezekiah was, and he was blessed because of that, that he trusted in the Lord. Let it be our virtue as well, that we may trust in the Lord. Doesn't matter if we have good times or if we have bad times. Doesn't matter if we are achieving in our life quite well and we have done quite well in our life, or we are not doing quite well. In all times, let's make our virtue that we trust in the Lord and in his word. The Bible tells us that trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not onto your own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct thy path. And we have seen in Hezekiah's life that his paths were directed by God when he trusted in him. When he trusted in his God's word, he was led by God. He led the nation of Israel, the southern kingdom, and he was quite successful. But the moment when he put his eyes off from God, when he started trusting in his own self, in his own wisdom, he didn't do quite well. Let our daily prayer must be that include our expression of thankfulness, gratitude, and complete trust in God. We must remind ourselves that whatever we have achieved in life, it is only because of the grace and kindness of God. Let's pray. Dear precious Father, we thank you, and we are so thankful, and we are so grateful for the lesson that we can learn from Hezekiah's life and how you worked in his life and how you used him for your honor and for your glory. Lord, please help us that we draw this lesson, that we may not trust in our own wisdom. We may not trust in our own intellect. We may not trust that what we have achieved, it is just because of ourselves, but we may remember what you have done in the past in our lives and how you have helped us in our trials, in our sufferings, and in our difficulties. And it may help us to grow in our faith, to believe in you, to trust in you, that when we go through the challenges of life, or when we go through the trials of life, that we may not lean on our own understanding and on our wisdom, but we may always fix our eyes on you. Help us, Father Lord, that the lessons that we learn, that we may remember these, and we may trust in you in everything we do. We may bring honor and glory to your name. We ask this in Jesus' mighty and strong name.